We have been studying, I know it's been a while, so we'll get back to on track and remind you a little bit of where we've been. This is like the recap on your favorite television show at the beginning of the week. We had talked about how Satan wanted to destroy the church, and we talked about his plans to do that. And then we've been talking since then about God's plan to grow the church. And we're going to continue that today with the next step. And I've got 3C on there, and it ought to be 3E. It ought to be 3F. I missed changing that. I copied and pasted a little bit of stuff on my computer and then forgot to change it over. So that should be an F instead of a C, because this is step 3 was to exalt Jesus. And then we've been talking about the different aspects of Jesus, the different things about Jesus that we're supposed to exalt. And we're to the 6th one, and this is the last one that... I take that back. There's one more. I was going to say this is the last one, but there is one more after this one. But we've talked about Jesus' sacrifice. We've talked about Jesus... most recently, we talked about Jesus' church, Christ's church, and how important that is. Today, we want to talk about how we need to exalt Jesus' love. And we've said each time, there are many things about Jesus that must be exalted. So we shouldn't be surprised that we're on the 6th thing here. Because Jesus is what the church is all about. That's what, if we want to grow the church, it's all about Jesus. If we want to grow it God's way. Now, if we want to grow it man's way, we can use entertainment and music and plays and movies and athletic events and whatever else if we want to do it man's way. But if we want to do it God's way, then the focus is going to have to be on Jesus Christ. And we've got to exalt Him. And so we want to continue today with talking about His love. The scripture that was read to us from Romans 8, verses 35-39, the key verses there about just how great His love is. You know, most relationships in this world where there is some level of love involved have a breaking point. Many husbands and wives who at one time loved each other because of the fusses and fights they had, because of affairs, because of addictions of some kind, sometimes there's a limit there to how much they can love, and they give up on it. Maybe they've been married for a month, and maybe they've been married for 25 years, and then they just say, well, I just don't love you anymore. When it comes to even our children and children and their parents, sometimes there's a limit to that. Children sometimes go so far astray, or parents do something so cruel to their children that love is lost. Friendships, often they break up with break off this friendship. You don't ever even speak to that person anymore because of something that happened in that relationship. So it's not uncommon in this world for what people say. Well, I love you and I love you forever, and then 6 months later they don't love you anymore. They've moved on to somebody else, or you've moved on to somebody else. Human love, earthly, worldly love, is temporary. But Christ's love, His spiritual, heavenly love, is truly eternal. Notice here Paul says, what's going to be able to separate us from the love of Christ? And then he starts a list. Because this is a list of some of the things that definitely will separate us from some other people's love. You know, there are people that say they love you until times get tough. But he says, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. You know, there are a lot of people who might think they love you pretty good unless a gun was put to their head. And then they'd decide pretty quick they didn't care what happened to you. They'd save their own skin. And they say, shoot him, shoot her, let me live. There's some sad stories in history of those kinds of things happening because of the immature love. But he says, no, these things can't separate us from the love of Christ. Now, those things may cause someone to not love Christ anymore. But those things can't stop Christ from loving us. He says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he tells us that Christ's love, when he promises to love us, when he says, I love you, then there is nothing that can change that. The amazing thing about it is, even our sinfulness can't change His love for us. Now that doesn't mean that He's going to just let all the sinners into heaven. But He's still going to love them right to the end. And even after He casts them into hell with His wrath, He's still going to love them. Imagine what a torture that would be to continue. But nothing can separate us from His love. Now, there are things that can separate us from heaven. There are things that can separate us from salvation. But there's nothing that can separate us from His love. No matter how wicked, no matter how immoral, no matter how degraded an individual is, Christ still loves them and wants what's best for them and doesn't want to see them in that condition. When are we going to start loving like Christ does? You know, so many times we allow all kinds of things to separate people from our love. Well, I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you as long as you don't do that. But that's not a godly love. That's not the kind of love that Christ has. Christ loves no matter what. Now, that doesn't mean that our relationship with Him is always right no matter what. We want to understand that. Christ can love us and still not allow us to come into heaven because He also loves everyone else. God cannot, Christ cannot, in their love, allow the wickedness into heaven. Because of their love, they cannot allow that to happen. But we must exalt Jesus' love because of six things. I'm sure there are probably more things about His love, but these are six that we're going to look at this morning because we don't have time to look at all of them. Well, the love of Christ, if we started to try to describe it and to expound upon it, we could be here until He comes back, still talking. But we're not going to be here that long this morning. But we must exalt Jesus' love, first of all, because it saves us. How could you not lift up something that's responsible for your salvation? We sang the song, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin when He lifted me up. We thought of another song. We could have sang Jesus Loves Me. It was a little kid. Even the little ones, they know that song by heart. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We need to understand that Jesus loves us, and because of that, He was willing to come and die for us. Jesus Himself said, greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid his life down for his friends. Now, who are his friends? You are my friends, he said, if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, Jesus did come to die for sinners. In fact, Romans tells us that's part of how we know of the love of God, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us when we didn't deserve it. Well, we never could have deserved it anyway. But that shows His love. We talk a lot about God. God is love. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. But what about that Son? How much did Jesus have to love us to leave heaven and come and live on this sinful earth with sinful people who hated Him from the moment He was born? One of the very first major events of His life was His adopted father and his mother fleeing with Him to go to Egypt because somebody wanted to kill Him. And they wanted to kill Him so bad that they killed all the babies in the whole town to try to make sure they got Him. But they missed Him anyway. That was before He was even hardly old enough to walk and talk. I mean, He's just a little fella. And they already hated Him. He hadn't even done anything yet. Hadn't started telling them what horrible sinners they were yet. And they already hated Him. But He loved them anyway. And as He hung on the cross, looking at the very people who had put Him there, He still loved them enough to say, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." Do you realize the depth of love that He had to have to face His Father forsaking Him for just for that brief period of time as He was hanging on the cross in total darkness? And as He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" It's the only question Christ ever asked His Father. But he knew it had to happen. He knew it, but it didn't change the human part of Him wanting to cry out for that. But you think about His love. How many people in the world would you give up your home for and become homeless? Would you do that? How many people can you think of that you would die for? How many people can you think of that you would become homeless for and then live that way for 30 years and then die for them? That's what Jesus did. He left His home. He left His family. You might say, "Well, as long as I could be with my family, I'd be home." What if you had to leave your family too? What if you had to leave your brothers and sisters, your father and mother, your husband or wife? What if you had to leave them too? Go all by yourself. You see, we sometimes don't understand the depth of Jesus' love, but it was because of His love for us that we are saved. His love saves us. And it is the power to salvation for everyone out there. Now that's what the gospel is. It's the good news that Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to come and live and die, and then that He was resurrected. Love. And so that brings us to the second reason that we must exalt Jesus' love, and that is because everyone needs it. You know, there are some people who never feel loved by anyone. They are rejected by their own parents. Maybe they're orphans or whatever the case may be, and they're picked on by everyone. And they never feel love. Everyone needs love. But not just regular run-of-the-mill love. Everyone needs Jesus' love. It is the kind of love that makes us a better person. The kind of love that gives us something to reach for. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says the love of Christ constrains us. It's what keeps us going in the right direction. It's what forces us to love God and love Christ in return. And everyone needs that. In Ephesians 3:19, though, he talks about that. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. But he says, I want to know the love of Christ that I can't even know. He said, it's so far beyond my human knowledge, and yet I want to know it. I want you to know it. To know the love of Christ. To understand the love of Christ. Even though we'll never fully understand it. I was talking to Xander some time ago. He was talking about wanting to be good and wanting to do what God wants him to do and those kind of things. And I was talking to him about how as we grow, as we live more years, how we learn more about God. And he said, well, what'd you learn? I said, well, let me give you an example. I said, well, before I had children, I didn't understand the love of God in sending His Son nearly as much as I do now that I do have children. Now, that doesn't mean to say that I understand it fully. I don't know that I'll ever understand it fully. But I understand it a lot more now that I have children, now that I have a son, than I ever did before I had a son. I thought, well, yeah, I understand God loves, He sent His Son. But until I was actually a father myself, I didn't understand what that meant. And I still don't claim to understand it fully, but I understand it a lot more than I ever did before. There are a lot of things like that where as we continue to grow in Christ Jesus, we continue to learn more things that we never knew before. That we never knew we could know. We are able to do things that we never thought we could do. To learn things that we never even knew were out there to be learned. Sometimes we uncover answers to questions that we never even knew the question before. We never even knew to ask the question at a time in the past. But everyone needs the love of Christ. Then we see, third, we must exalt Jesus' love because it will draw others. Jesus Himself said of His disciples, by your love will all men know you are My disciples. When I hear about, as I've heard this week on the news, about the fighting in Nigeria between those who are Muslim and those who claim to be Christian, and they're killing each other, and these folks who claim to be Christian are going into Muslim villages and killing the Muslims and throwing them down wells and all this kind of thing. And I think, is that the way Christ would act? Now, I don't doubt they said, well, they did it to us first, so we're getting even with them. Is that the way Christ would act? Christ said that people are going to know we're His followers by our love. He showed love to those who didn't deserve it. He showed love to those who were killing Him. And those who He knew would kill His followers in the future. And yet He loved them. And He could have struck them all dead, but He didn't. He died for them instead. Sometimes I think that we allow ourselves to be swayed by the culture around us and forget that Christ is different. And following Christ means we've got to be different. We have to show His love to the unlovable, and that will draw people. That's going to draw people way more than a gun or a sword or a bomb will ever draw people. We have to show compassion. We have to show His love. His love is what's going to draw others to Him. Now we know that the teaching has to be there as well. You know, they say, well, Jesus loves you. Isn't that great? Oh yeah, that's great. Okay, well now you're going to heaven. No, it didn't work that way. But the old saying, and I know, if it weren't for the fact that it's so true, I wouldn't keep repeating it. But I have to keep repeating this old saying. There's a reason old sayings become proverbs and adages and cliches even. Because they're true. People often, even if they don't say it, they'll think it. They don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. As long as we are cold and calloused toward individuals in need, whatever that need is, whether it's a physical, a spiritual, emotional, intellectual need, whatever that need is, if we're cold and calloused and heartless and don't show love, they're not going to care if we have the truth or not. The Bible tells us we need to speak the truth in love. That love has to be underlying everything we do as a Christian, or else whatever we're doing is vain. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There are some folks that try to keep the commandments without loving him. You're not keeping them right. Oh, you may be going through the motions, but if you don't have that love underneath it, then it's useless. It's vain. Meaningless. That love is what will draw others. Then we see the fourth thing. We must exalt Jesus' love because it is our standard and model. That's our example that's been set forth for us by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Paul says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Are we walking in love? We can't grow the church. We can't exalt Christ if we're not exalting his love. And we can't do that if we're not walking in his love. We need to walk in his love just as Christ loved us. Gave himself for us. Are we giving ourselves, and I'm not necessarily talking about a death on a cross like he did, but are we giving ourselves for our fellow Christians? Are we giving ourselves? That doesn't mean we have to die, but daily, are we living that life? Are we loving? Are we giving? Or are we selfish? Well, I'm not going to drive a mile out of the way to pick somebody up. They need to find it some other way. It's their responsibility to get to church. Is that love like Christ would love? Is that giving ourselves as an offering, a sacrifice to God? No. You see, Jesus taught us that as Christians, we're supposed to be the people who don't just go 1 mile, we go 2 miles. We go the extra mile if need be. We have to do that with our love. Our love should push us because that is the example that we have to follow. That's the standard that Christ set when he came. And do you realize that of all the things that Christ commanded us, do you realize there's only one time he commanded us to be perfect? Do you know what that was? He talked about loving our enemies as our Father in heaven was willing to forgive them and to love them. And he says, even so be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It was when he was talking about love that he told us to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect in action, but we can be perfect in the thought behind that action. We may do the wrong thing, but for the right reason sometimes. But how sad it is when we do the wrong thing for the wrong reason. Or we do the right thing for the wrong reason. Jesus wants us to love and do everything out of love. Be perfect in love, even if our actions don't always live up to what that standard is. Our love. Be perfect. Number five, we must exalt Jesus' love because it can unite us and grow the church. Have you ever seen a church that was bickering and fussing and fighting and growing? That doesn't work too well. You've got to have love and unity before you can have growth. Unity comes through love. Philippians 2, 1 and 2, Paul says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Do we consider that possibility? When was the last time you considered someone else as better than yourself? When was the last time you said, you know what? I'll skip a meal so somebody else can have one. Wow. When was the last time you said, you know, I'll go without this particular thing. Maybe I'll go without a new pair of shoes so that somebody else can have a pair of shoes. We don't think that way. We think selfishly. That's the natural thing. Look out for number one. But that's not Jesus' way. That's not what love teaches us. Love teaches us to sacrifice, to give until we've actually given something. Do you remember the case where Jesus is watching and he watches the people come and they're putting big old bags of money. They're giving lots of money to the temple. And then this poor woman, she only put in a couple of pennies. He said she's given more than all the rest of them. Why? Because it hurt her to give that. Most of us, we give. We give because it doesn't hurt. What if you had to make the choice between having your electricity cut off and giving or keeping your electricity on? That's not hard to buy. I'm going to keep my electricity on. Of course we are. Because we think of self first. We don't think sometimes about truly, sacrificially giving. Giving till it hurts. We'll give as long as it doesn't interfere with anything that would make me uncomfortable. As long as I can be comfortable, I'll give as much as I can. But Christ didn't call us to comfort and ease. He called us to a life of suffering. And we're not ready for that a lot of times. But our love can cause that to happen. And that love will unite us together in a common purpose. You see in the first century, it says they had all things common. All things in common. Why is that? Because of their love. And the church grew during that time. Oh, it grew. You start saying things like that, that sounds like a cult. Well, the first century church was called a cult by many. But there are right ways to do things. They had all things common, and yet each person still had control over their individual resources. They chose whether to give it or not. Unlike the cults where it's forced upon someone, they chose to give. We can choose to give, or we can choose to give it to ourselves. But then the final thing that we want to notice is that we need to exalt Jesus' love because He commanded us to imitate it. He commanded it. You know, when Jesus commands something, aren't we supposed to obey that command? Yeah, but that's an uncomfortable command. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you." A new commandment. This is unlike any other commandment that had been given before. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then he goes on to say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's the kind of love, though. Not just, I love you as long as you treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. No, this is the love that says, no matter how you treat me, no matter what you do to me, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you like Christ loved you. I'm going to love you the way Christ loved me. I don't love you because of who you are. I love you because of who He is. And because He saved me, I'm going to love you. He commanded us to imitate His love. Didn't command us to imitate the world's love, the conditional if-then love, the I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine kind of love. That's not the kind of love He commanded us. He commanded us to love people to the end. First John 3:23 again. John mentions this. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He commanded us. That's it. Believe on Jesus and love each other. Now, isn't that what Jesus said while He was on earth? What are the two greatest commandments? Well, it's easy. The first one was love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. That was the Old Testament command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus then gives a new commandment. He says, you're going to go further than that. You don't just love your neighbor like yourself. You love your neighbor the way I've loved you. Be willing to give till it hurts. Be willing to love even those who seem unlovable. It's easy to love what is beautiful and what is expensive and what is wonderful and what is intelligent and it's easy to love those things. But can we love in spite of? See, we usually love because of, but we need to learn to love in spite of. That's God's love. God loved us in spite of the fact that we were still sinners. Not because we were sinners, but in spite of that fact. Not because we were righteous, but in spite of the fact that we weren't righteous. He loved us and He showed us how to live and how to love. Church can never grow, not the way God wants it to, without love being at the foundation of every emotion and of every action. We may not always do and say the right things, but we need to have love in our hearts for one another and for Him. If you're here and you need to respond this morning because you do not have love in your hearts for God or for your fellow man, if you're not a Christian, then you haven't done what He said. He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He commanded you to believe in Him, to repent of your sins, to confess Him as the Son of God, and to be buried with Him to wash your sins away. If you haven't done that, then you can't say you love Him. If you are a Christian, but you have not been loving your fellow man as you should, John asks a very telling question. He says, how can we say that we love God whom we've not seen if we can't love our brother whom we have seen? The answer was, we can't. That was the point of the question. If we hate our brother, we're a murderer and the love of God does not dwell in us. We have to love one another. If you're here and you need prayer for that or any other sin in your life, we ask that you respond as we stand and as we sing.